Blog Talk Radio.
Our community have become toxic waste, and those in high places are planning to remove the toxic waste. And while we flitter and live this frivolous, foolish life, seeking pleasure from our bodies and pleasure from the bodies of others, and seeking to be famous and wealthy in this world, to be used by the power to make our people think that if you go to school and work hard, you too can be successful. That's a lie. I don't give a damn how many of you go to school and work hard. They select a few out of the mass to deceive the rest that this house is not your house. And you are going to have to think about a house of your own, because white America, listen to me good, man, cannot support you any longer. White America cannot give jobs to her millions of unemployed, much less ours. Did you hear me? Elijah Muhammad told us in the 60s we should pool our resources and get farmland, because there is no freedom without land. You remember those teachings? He said that the time of separation had come, and that we are going to have to think about building a nation of our own. You, in the 60s, you were ready to say it's nation time. You don't say that no more, because you have been deceived into thinking that inclusion into this is your salvation. This that you want to be included in has no future. None.
Greetings and assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the Time to Leave Blog Talk Radio Show. This is the show where we talk about separation and community building in all of its forms. We want to thank all of you for tuning in to our show this evening. And for those of you who are practicing and striving to fast during this blessed month of Ramadan, may Allah bless you that you make it with the blessed Ramadan. So that being said, we have a dynamic show. We in the Time to Leave movement, you know, we all are at war against Satan and his evil and his evils. We in the Time to Leave movement look at ourselves as being the infantry level of people who are separating, as we strive to build communities, as we strive to build the Muhammad Farm community in Brownwood, Georgia. So if you are interested, if you are feel that you are one of the few, the proud, the Muslims who want to start a community, then keep tuning in, get on our Facebook page, register at timetoleave.us and look at the website, and stay tuned so we can learn how to build these communities. So that being said, I'm going to go ahead. I see we have a special show tonight, and I'm going to bring on our host for tonight, Sister Andrea. And I see Sister Andrea and Sister Yusuf, you're on the line. If both of you can push the one, Brother Yusuf and Sister Andrea, if you both can push one, that makes it easier for me to identify your numbers and to push you at the top of my queue. Okay, all praise is due to Allah. So let me bring on Sister Andrea.
Assalamu alaikum,
Sister Andrea.
Wa alaikum salam.
How are you doing, Ramadan Mubarak?
Ramadan Kareem. I am doing wonderful. How are you today?
I am well, by the grace of Allah. So I'm blessed because I have you here. I don't have to do a lot of talking, and so I'm gonna put a damper on my talk, and I'm gonna let you take over, and I'm gonna let you go ahead and introduce your guest.
Yes, sir. Thank you, but I do want you there for my backup. All right.
Oh yes, ma'am. I'm not going anywhere, and I will have some questions too because I'm excited about the topic.
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum. How are you this evening, Brother Yusuf?
I'm just now opening his mic. Okay.
Okay.
Wa alaikum salam, ma'am. Sister Andre, I'm grateful. Thank Allah. And yourself, ma'am?
I am doing well, sir. Yes, sir. And thank you so much for agreeing to be on Time to Leave tonight as our guest. I'm going to take a few minutes and just give a brief summary of the beautiful bio of service that I have here in front of me. But I'm going to let Brother Yusuf take over from there. I first heard Brother Yusuf. He is a moderator on the Faja prayer line. And recently I started back listening. I had fallen away for a while. And as I listened to my brother as a moderator, he began to add on Saturdays after playing the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, the time and what must be done. He pulls a segment from that on disaster preparedness. And it was so much dynamic information being shared. I asked Brother if he would come on Time to Leave and share some of his knowledge. He has been a fireman for 25 years, I believe, 29 years. And he has also served in other capacities of disaster preparedness training in the community. I am going to leave it at that. And Brother Yusuf, I will ask you to take over from there, if you will.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Sister Andrea. First of all, beginning all things in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Most Merciful. I bear witness there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness Muhammad is his messenger. We thank Allah for Jesus and the gospel, Moses and the Torah, for Muhammad and the Holy Quran. Peace be upon the worthy servants of Allah. But I could never thank Allah enough as a student of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan for Master W. Fahd Muhammad for coming 9,000 miles to seek and to save that which was lost. I speak for myself personally for raising the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, the eternal leader of the Nation of Islam, and the both of them for leaving with us more than a divine reminder in the person of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I'd like to greet the listening audience on this wonderful program, Time to Leave, with the greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum. Meaning peace be unto you for those who do not know the greetings by now. I want to thank Brother Carlton Muhammad and Sister Andrea Muhammad for giving me this opportunity just to be your guest, to be your brother this evening, this afternoon, depending on what time district you're in, if you will, time zone. I want to begin my words by reading a quote from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan relative to disaster awareness for community preparedness. And the quote is as follows. Those who are scripturally prepared know that it is prophesied that we would be living in a time of wars and rumors of war, pestilence, famine, and earthquakes in diverse places. We are witnessing terrifying disasters afflicting the peoples of the world, and those disasters are now afflicting the United States of America. Believing that those prophecies will be fulfilled, it is our duty to learn as much as we can on disaster preparedness and do all we can to prepare the American people and our people in particular for coming disasters, unquote, from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And as you stated earlier, Sister Andrea, you know, when we study that most timely message, The Time and What Must Be Done, the 58-week lecture series by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan that he started back in 2013, he used Surah 103 as the base, Al-Asr, the time. By the time, surely man is in loss, except those who believe and do good, and enjoin one another to truth, and enjoin one another to patience. And as we're taught by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, it's our time that it's the time that dictates the agenda. So the last quote I'll leave as my base from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in that lecture series, he said, time is the yardstick of the measurement of our actions. We cannot make progress unless there is the presence of truth. And we cannot make progress even with truth if we are not highly organized. And so I've been blessed by Allah to link up with various subject matter experts all over the world relative to disaster awareness for community preparedness. And I just want to share anything that I have with our listening audience with the time that we have that will make it applicable to whatever questions you have. Again, I'm eternally grateful for this opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Brother Yusuf. I do have a question. Many of us, and most of us, are still in the cities. And although we may have been told about preparing, this program focuses on our need and desire based on our instructions for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan to separate. At this point in time, beginning for those who of us who may not have followed all the instructions on preparing, those of us in the cities and those of us that may be in the rural areas, what are some of the first steps we need to be doing to prepare?
Yes, ma'am. Well, I think, Sister Andrea, programs such as this, Time to Leave, you know, there are four basic steps in disaster preparedness. Number one is to get informed. And programs such as this gives your listening audience an opportunity to become more informed today than they probably were yesterday. Second of all, whether you're in the city or in rural areas, that applies to all. Get informed. Number two, develop a plan. Develop a plan, whether you're in rural areas or in the urban cities. Number three, begin developing or establishing or accumulating supplies, whether it's supplies in your home, because there may come a time where you may not be able to evacuate, or whether there are supplies that you might consider putting in your backpack that you may have to evacuate and take with you. So, you know, there are different scenarios, dynamics to establishing and accumulating supplies. You want to think about supplies again if you can evacuate, supplies if you evacuate, supplies that you might keep in your car, and supplies that you might have on your place of employment. So, number one, get informed. Number two, develop a plan. Number three, develop or establish a survival kit. And number four, periodically reassess your plan, reassess your kit, because whatever you put in your kit, it may not necessarily always be up to date, and you always want to reassess. I liken it unto the study guides by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. It's a self-examination first, a self-analysis, then a self-correction, for most certainly self-improvement is the basis for community development. And when you talk about disaster preparedness, you're also talking about an investment in your community. It starts with yourself, then with your family members, then with your community, and then it branches out from there, but it has to begin with yourself. I don't know if that answers specifically what you wanted, but it's good. You know, I don't know for sure, our listening audience, everybody could be on the line listening today to your wonderful program. They could be a novice, in other words, know nothing about disaster preparedness, or they could be survivalists. In other words, they've already prepared themselves to try to survive for 30 days. You know, that's extreme from someone who has never taken the opportunity to at least know that you should have at least 3 gallons of water per day, per family member in your household. That's just a basic novice understanding of survival, to something that is, you know, preparing for yourself and your family to live off the land for 30 days is a whole nother degree of disaster awareness for community preparedness. So let's start with the basic four things. Get informed, develop a plan, establish your survival kit, and reassess your plan and your kit.
Yes, sir, that definitely answered. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And then you yes, sir. And then you just mentioned something that I also wanted to ask you about. You mentioned the water, having the 3 gallons of water per family member per day. With water, I know purification is a big thing. We don't know what's in our water. And I have heard in the past, if you get the tap water in bottles for usage, to put bleach in it. Is bleach, and my thinking is that if we would run out of the water we have stored for drinking, is that water with bleach in it safe to drink?
Yeah, as long as you don't put too much water in it. You know, there's a percentage of bleach, like water quantity. If you have 1 quart of water, you want to put 4 drops of bleach. If you have 1 gallon of water, you want to put 16 drops of bleach. If you have 5 gallons of water, you may want to put a teaspoon as a, you know, purifying agent for the water.
Okay. Now, I heard a sister mention water purification tabs a few Saturdays ago. Is one more efficient or better than the other, or is it about the same?
I really can't say specifically. You know, with tabs, I don't know the concentration of, you know, what's in a particular tab. But the thing about when you put bleach in the water that I had not mentioned, you want to shake and stir that water up, and you want it to allow it to sit for about 30 minutes before drinking it. You just don't want to put the bleach in the water and then start drinking it.
Yes, sir. Okay. Thank you so much. There may be some other questions. I don't want to take all the time. For the Carlton, are there any other? Is there anyone else?
Well, I will make that announcement now. Brothers and sisters, this is your opportunity to ask our brother, Brother Yusuf, who is an experienced expert in disaster recovery. This is your chance to get a live answer. So if you have a question for our brother, press the 1 on your phone pad now, and I will recognize you. And I have a question, Brother Yusuf, and Assalamu Alaikum, Brother Yusuf.
Wa alaikum salam, Brother Carlton. And before we carry on, please, I forgot to give the greetings of Ramadan Mubarak, blessed Ramadan, to those who may be observing. I certainly want to do that. what a wonderful opportunity we have to purify ourselves. So thank you, Brother Carl, once again, for allowing me to be a part of this wonderful program.
Oh, the pleasure is ours, brother. Yeah, so I have a question regarding the water. I notice a lot of times when people start to store water, the first thing they go and do is they go buy a whole bunch of bottled water and gallons and cases and stuff like that. Is that necessary, or is it just as frugal to use tap water and store it in containers?
Well, the tap water, as long as you purify it, in other words, boil the water first to get the impurities out of that water, because there's so much in the water. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said we should attempt to purify it first by, you know, putting it on the stove to eliminate as many impurities as possible. See, far be it from me to say to anybody how they store their water, because there's so many different ways. And depending on your living condition, right, you may have a water purifier on your faucet. You know, there are those who have water purifiers on their faucet, whether they're, you know, producing alkaline water out of their faucet or otherwise, you know, or if it's more conducive for you to buy bottles, then, you know, it's not for me to say. There is a science of certain plastic bottles. We have to be very careful because some of the bottles are actually produced with formaldehyde, which is a chemical that they put in embalming fluid. So, of course, that's not really, you know, promoted, but it actually is some agency, some businesses that put this spring water, if you will, in these plastic bottles, and it's almost the plastic in the bottles that are the detriment versus what kind of water. Also, you know, in the fire service, we have this thing called situational awareness. Situational awareness. In other words, knowing what to do, how to do, where to do, when to do, and the like. Situational awareness. For as a firefighter, you can train, and we believe in training and educating ourselves on all the scenarios in the past, that the next one that we come upon will be as best trained as possible. But there's always that opportunity or that incident where it's never happened before. And so we have to be able to think on our feet. For instance, if you live in an area where you know the meteorologist and Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan always instructs us to watch the weather, that there may be a climactic condition coming your way that might shut the power down, then, of course, you may have whatever water you have stored. But thinking on your feet, being engaged in situational awareness, you might also want to just fill your bathtub up with water. Because, again, you know, some water is drinking water, some water is water to wash up in, some water is for hygiene. You know, water represents life. So, you know, again, Brother Carlton, I don't want to say one way or the other. You know, you can go into depth, but the bottom line is try to establish a system and a plan that you have at least 3 gallons per day, which is really not a lot of water if you would understand. But when you're in survival mode, 3 gallons per day per person in your family is what is pretty much generally a universal recommendation.
Praise be to Allah. Thank you, Brother Yusuf. And our board is lighting up. So I'm going to go ahead and start to let the callers ask their question. We got a caller with the last 4 digits, 9275. What's your name and where are you calling from? Caller with the last 4 digits, 9275. You are on live on Time to Leave.
Assalamu alaikum. It's Sister Karima from 7C Brooklyn, New York.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Karima. Welcome,
Ramadan,
brother. Ramadan Kareem. Brother Carlton, Sister Andrea, you may not know, Sister Karima is a subject matter expert in her own right. And, you know, she's one of the reasons I still do what I do relative to getting the word out to our people, because I don't know, Sister Karima, it's been, what, 10 years, 15 years now since you invited me to be a part of the workshops that you and Brother Rudolph and Care Unit 911 were engaged in. So it's good to hear your voice, my dear sister.
Alhamdulillah, it's good to hear yours too. I wanted to add in regards to water, cleaning water, many of the pioneers that I visit, they have distillers on their counter. They take the tap water, they put it in a distiller, they plug it up, and those who don't know what a distiller is, it heats the water up and it goes into a tube. The steam goes into a tube and cools it down, and the water drips into a container outside of the distiller. There are many kind of distillers, but that's the one I've seen most in our pioneers' homes. So they run... you can get one for $70 from the Walmart or the Amazon. And another way, in an emergency for water, you can catch water, the morning dew. You can catch rainwater. You can get the water off of leaves in the morning. Just tie a plastic bag to it as the sun dries. Heats up the bag, you'll have water catched in your container. Just wanted to share that. And another thing in regards to preparing, the sister asked, what are ways to prepare? Getting in shape. So what if you're Exodus, you have to leave your home. Carry the weight of your go bag. See how far you can walk with that, or start walking. We used to have what were called evacu-walks. So if you have to evacuate your community, what route would you go? How far can you make it? How long is it going to take you to walk that distance? Is it just you? Is it a family member in a wheelchair? Is it a family member that walks slow? That's another form of preparedness. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you, Sister Karima. All praise is due to Allah.
Yes, sir. And we have another caller. I'm going to open the caller's line. Caller with the last four digits, 0883. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Assalamu alaikum. This is Brother Dwayne and Sister Sherry out of Peoria, Illinois.
Wa alaikum salam, Brother Dwayne.
Yes, sir. Ramadan Mubarak, too.
Ramadan Kareem, sir.
All right. Well, me and my wife was listening to that, and it was like 3 gallons for 30 days. That would seem like a lot of water. Yeah, per family member. That seemed like a lot of water for us. But I just wanted real fast, how long does like water have like a life shelf time? You know, how long do you store water, or does it don't spoil? Or, you know, that's a good question.
Yeah, shelf life. First of all, let me, brother, thank you for your question. And then say to you, the 30 days, no, I wasn't recommending that for everyone. Start with
okay.
3 days. Yeah, start with 3 days. I was trying to just give an example of the wide range of people who may be at whatever degree of disaster preparedness. Now, generally,
okay, yes.
They say, 3 days, sir, 3 days. That's the start now. That's the start. Now, the National Student Representative of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, Student Minister Ismail Muhammad, recently said at a believers meeting that we should at least plan for 10 days to 2 weeks. Now, you know, if he's the National Representative Assistant, to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, then we know where that's coming from. So we might want to look at beyond 3 days, 10 days to 2 weeks. The specific shelf life of water, beloved, I really can't right off the bat tell you what it is. I know I did Sister Kareem. I don't know if she's still on the line, if she knows it per se. But, again, that's why you have to periodically reassess not just your water but other supplies as well in your pack. I can't give you a particular right off the bat. I'll look it up, brother, as the program goes along. And if I come across something in my references, I'll share that before the program is over.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you for your
question,
Brother Dwayne, and thank you for listening to the show.
Yes, sir.
Brother Yusuf, I have a question regarding the disaster preparedness for small and tight-knit communities. You know, that's basically what our show is all about, you know, separating into our own communities. And as we start to make and build communities and take over our neighborhoods, what should we consider in terms of group preparation as opposed to just individual? I know you got to have individual stuff in your home and be prepared individually, but are there certain considerations and things we should take in mind and consider as we plan communities and be prepared for disasters?
Very good question. Very good question. Thank you, Brother Carlton. So when you're talking about organizing communities, there are a couple of things. First, you want to consider the project, one of the project management styles of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and that is to organize, deputize, supervise, and check back. Organize, deputize, supervise, and check back. So when you say small, tight-knit communities, you know, that can be anywhere from four people to four families to 40 people to 40 families. So you might want to consider in organizing, there are six basic components when you talk about, let's just say, for instance, many of us have experienced fire engines in our communities and responding to an alarm. And so as the fire chief basically considers six basic components in trying to mitigate the situation, make the situation become under control. And we should consider this, Brother Carlton, I believe, in terms of organizing, and that is this. Even though I'm given in a chronological order, not necessarily so. These again are things that intertwine, but are separate in and of itself. And so the six things are this: operations, planning, number two, logistics, resources, number four. And when I say resources, I mean both financial and human resources. Number five would be communication. And number six would be coordination. And so these are just some basic components that we all need to consider. You know, when you talk about disaster preparedness, it encompasses such a wide range of dynamics. I know on our program, Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness, where I'm a co-host with Brother Rudolph Muhammad, we talk about everything from viruses to vaccines, from flu to health and fitness, from fire safety education to community risk reduction. And so no matter what we're engaged in terms of preparation, consider, again, as an organization, small, tight-knit family, to organize, to deputize, to supervise, and to check back, and to consider the components of planning, operations, logistics, resources, both financial and human, coordination and communication. I'll stop right there, beloved. If there's anything specific, then we can engage with that as well. But those are some jewels that we need to consider, family, when you talk about an organization. And lastly, let me just say, as it says in, I want to say it's the book of Corinthians, the 12th chapter, it talks about the body of Christ. And in other words, everybody has a role to play. The elders have a role to play. The men have a role to play. The women, the children, everybody has a role to play. Everybody's not going to play the same role. So we have to identify in our group, various group dynamics, who does what the best to, you know, make the plan as comprehensive as possible.
Thank you very much, Brother Youssef. That answered my question and gave me a lot of food for thought and planning as well.
All praise is due to Allah. Thank you for that wonderful question, Brother Carl.
Yes, sir. So, Sister Andrea, at this time, I see it looks like our Sister Karima came back. Let me just open up her line. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Karima. Did you have another question?
No, I had more information to share on what my brother already shared. SEMA has an independent study. It's the same courses and exams. If you was to do their homeland security training or emergency management training, they have it online. You can take the classes for free. So those entities that brother said we need to have, they'll teach on it, elaborate on it more. So just like with any town, any municipality that you live in, how does it run? You have fire, law enforcement, emergency medicine, you have the hospital, you have the pharmacist. All those plus more fall into our 9 ministries. So where are we working in our 9 ministries? So 15, 16 years ago, when we had the Millions More movement and the minister asked us to start local organizing committees, that's how disaster awareness or communities prepared, disaster awareness for community preparedness started. And somebody told me Brother Joseph was a fireman. I said, oh, we got a fireman. So he joined us and he's doing what he does now in assisting the masses. But if you work for sanitation, or if you want to do hazmat and sanitation, there's a course on it for that. If you work with the street lights, city maintenance, there's a protocol for city maintenance to respond. If you're an electrician, you really want to know that. If you work for a hospital, there's emergency response for a hospital. And whatever municipality you live in, because that's where you live, if you contact them, they'll give you the emergency plan. You'll have it. You know how they are going to respond. If you join your local CERT community emergency response team, they'll teach you that. So you can respond as well. You get the information and take it back to others. But the information, if you go online, you log on to FEMA, FEAM, independent study courses. Start with the first ones, 101, how to prepare or get ready. I forget what they changed it to. And just take it and look down what you want to study yourself. We're doing, we're big in farms. Well, they have a whole different emergency response plan for animals. That's your livelihood. How are you going to save your horses? How are you getting your horses out? There's a whole thing. Whatever you do or whatever it is that you want to do, you don't have to know how to do it. But if you have the willingness, you'll learn and be the best at it.
Praise be to Allah. Thank you very much, Sister Karima. So what we're going to do now this time is hand it back over to Sister Andrea. Well, before I do that, I'm going to once again invite our listeners to go ahead and press that one button on their keyboard dial and their phone pad. Press the one to make a comment or ask a question. So, Sister Andrea, handing it back over to you.
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum. Sister Karima, thank you so much for the information that you have shared with us also. It is, and the FEMA and the CERT, I have heard of it, but I need to investigate some more. Okay. Brother Yusuf, Okay, you have given a lot of vital information. With the disaster, at the point that perhaps we could not get out, food would not be available going out. And is there an alternative if you don't have a large quantity of fresh vegetables and so on? I know that chlorophyll is something that we need for our vegetables. What are alternatives that we can do, and what things should we be storing and have in our homes if we don't have the quantity of fresh vegetables and stuff that we would need in a disaster?
Yes, ma'am. Very good question. If I may, though, may I just regress to our brother who asked about the water? I had been doing some research as Sister Karima was speaking, and I believe our brother was from Peoria, Illinois. It talks about replace the water every 6 months, if not using commercially bottled water. Replace the water every 6 months, if not using commercially bottled water. In other words, if you are filling your own bottles up with water, then you want to replace it at least every 6 months. With commercial bottled water, it may have a longer shelf life, but that's what I can offer and share with our listening audience. And as I wanted to make my word bond and get back to our brother, and I hope I'm clear with that. Now, back to your question. We thank Allah, and we thank Allah much for the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the MGT and GCC class, where you have your units, where you sisters are learning in your disciplines various things that you can use relative to disaster. Specifically to your question, Sister Andrea, we need to consider right now, while we can, establishing the staple goods that are available to us. And in terms of your disciplines, the canning and the jarring and whatnot that you learn, and that my wife, shout out to my wife, Sister Sharon Muhammad, of 39 years, you know, to see her come home and implement what she learned in the disciplines is we could never thank Allah enough for the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Staple foods are such as beans, rice, pasta, and we're talking about in times of disaster. So granola bars, flour, seasoning, etc. Again, when it comes to jarring or canning, homemade preserves, vegetables, rice, soups, fruit, etc. And, you know, there may be someone on the line who does not know how to make preserves or to can. There's also a way that you can, not that we're advertising for anyone, but there's ways that you can purchase those goods. So I'll just start with that. In terms of what the sister said, what'd you say the sister asked you to use or recommended to use, Sister Andrea?
I'm sorry, sir.
You were saying a sister recommended something to you. I didn't remember exactly what it was you were saying, but, you know, we need to start, as Sister Karima said, on a large level about farms, but we need to start putting seeds in soil where we live. And you can do that in your homes. You can do that no matter what your environment, living in an urban area or rural area. We need to start testing our green thumbs out and just to see how much we can provide for ourselves, for our families, for our neighborhoods. So I'll leave it at that. If it's something I did not answer, then I'll go into it some more if that's what you desire.
Okay. No, thank you, sir. And I think I was asking about the chlorophyll that I know is in the plants, but you have definitely answered that. And as you were answering it, it actually took me back to something that one of the sisters said on the Saturday program that I hadn't thought about. I think one of the sisters mentioned is buying a good grade of potting soil and throwing some seeds in there. And letting the lettuce and so on grow, even if we're in the house. And I hadn't even thought about that. That answered the question. I mean, it's definitely an idea that we may not think about, so we can have some greens if it's a time when we can't get to stores. And I'm sure that will be coming soon, looking at some of these grocery stores.
And what the chlorophyll does, Sister Andrea, in your plants, it helps to purify that which you breathe in your home, and too often, you know, one of the fire safety education exercises is always do an inventory in your home, and oftentimes many of us don't realize how much we accumulate until we do what is quote unquote called spring cleaning, and we start looking places where we haven't looked in a while, and we see items that accumulated that we didn't know were even there. But one thing that's there that, you know, is a guarantee, and that's dust. And that dust, you know, adds to, if you have respiratory problems, asthma, COPD, if you have respiratory problems, that dust does no good. But the chlorophyll in the plants helps the air that we breathe. And so when I hear chlorophyll, I just wanted to share that with our listening audience.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. I know that many times when we think about disaster, I'm sure it puts some anxiety there. What are some things that we could do to just prepare mentally, emotionally, as we're, you know, going into this dark hour?
Yes, ma'am. Very good question. First of all, memorize the prayer, O Allah, I seek thy refuge from anxiety and grief, and I seek thy refuge from lack of strength and laziness, and I seek thy refuge from cowardice and niggardliness, and I seek thy refuge from being overpowered by debt and the oppression of men. O Allah, suffice thou me with what is lawful, to keep me away from that which is prohibited, and with thy grace, make me free of want of what is beside thee. I mean, first of all, we have to have a greater connection to the all-wise, true, and living God. And we know, as the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, prayer is the supplication of the heart and necessary for all spiritual advancement. And, of course, you know, when you're engaged in disaster, calamity, climactic conditions, you know only Allah can save you. You can prepare as much as you can because, look, when I stated earlier about the four things you consider, should consider, getting informed, developing a plan, developing a kit, and reassessing that plan and kit. Why? Because the reality is this, brothers and sisters. as we deal with the vicissitudes of life and all of us or wherever we are at certain times of the day, you might be at home, but your spouse may be at work. Your children may be at school. The elders may be at a recreation center. Others may be at a social environment, at the mall, at the movies. And so if you don't develop a plan, there's a good opportunity where all of us won't be together. So that's why it's important, number one, to rely on the all-wise, true, and living God. Number two, your question is so pertinent because, you know, again, when you look at what's happening right now in the news, you know, there's the NAACP just came out with a memorandum about the domestic terrorism that's going on in America. And they used a couple of events such as the burning of black churches in the South recently, the recent arrest of an active duty member of the U.S. Coast Guard seeking to commit domestic terrorism of black elected officials, the domestic terrorists that send pipe bombs to black legislators and outspoken opponents, recent reports showing that the white nationalist groups jumped by 50% in 2018, and of course blacks are their main focus, and the disturbing issue of government surveillance of black activists, and nothing could be more current in the event as what Facebook and Instagram attempted to do as they took the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan off of those social media sites. And so we have to rely on the all-wise, true, and living God, number one. Number two, when you talk about hurricanes, you know, a news report just broke by the All Healers Mental Health Alliance that after two hurricanes, there's a floodgate of mental health issues in the Virgin Islands. You know, mainstream media may talk about Puerto Rico when they were engaged in that last hurricane, but the Virgin Islands were impacted one right after the other. Then our people in Florida with Hurricane Michael, our people in North Carolina with Hurricane Florence, our people in Flint. Yeah, this is very important that we really tune into the mental capacity of what we need to be doing. I have to say this relative to your question, and Sister Karima brought it out, that in 2005, as a result of the Millions More movement, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan told us in the Nation of Islam to establish ministries. As a result of the people in New Orleans being impacted by what was called Hurricane Katrina, right? But what you may not know is that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan also had the insight and the foresight to get subject matter experts, professionals all over the country, black organizations together that have stayed together since then, called the Black Family Summit, 25 black national organizations that have stayed together dealing with cultural competency, if you will, of how blacks are impacted relative to disasters. And so organizations like the National Association of Black Social Workers, like the Black Psychologists, the Black Psychiatrists of America, the International Association of Black Professional Firefighters, the All Healers Mental Health Alliance. These organizations are still meeting periodically to deal with the current mental stress that our people are impacted by, that, you know, oftentimes if your area is not impacted by it, then you seem to, like, out of sight, out of mind. But what should you have to reduce stress before, during, and after a disaster? Well, those of us who are observing Ramadan, we know we are in the Holy Quran, more intensified now than during the time of the year. So scripture, whether it's the Bible you read, the Holy Quran, the study guides, have something to read to sort of give you some kind of mental balance after prayer to reduce your stress. You know, with our cell phones, if they're still working, you have notepads. Take notes. Or if they're not working, then have a notebook, a notepad. Don't forget old school now, pen and pencil. For our children, you want to have board games or some toys to keep them occupied because it's going to be a stressful situation. And, of course, if you have iPad, iPod, whatever kind of music you listen to, that also usually calms people down in addition to the other things that you need in disaster. And whether it's your cell phone or other kind of device like that, you want to make sure you have extra batteries because your electricity may go out and you certainly need batteries to sustain whatever little gadget you might have to keep that balance, keep that stress reduced. And so I hope I answered your question, my dear sister.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. You did, and much, much more. I wanted to ask you to please give information about your disaster awareness Block Talk show so that the listeners can know about that also, because I knew nothing about it. And if we have time with that, also you just talked about communication. We used to hear about walkie-talkies and things like that. Are they still relevant in this day and time for us to have in a disaster if all this other technology is no longer current?
Most definitely relevant. Again, as Brother Carlton spoke about a tight-knit community, if you're talking about walkie-talkies or units, if you will, like that, then you want to make sure you have the capacity to reach who you need to reach. Some of these can go 2 miles, some can go as much as 20, but the ham radio, I don't know if many of us are familiar with the CBs that the truckers use in their trucks, and this is something we need to establish. I know there are, as Sister Karima used the term, CERT, C-E-R-T, CERT, standing for Community Emergency Response Teams. And shout out to Brother Reginald and Sister Captain Christina of the 10,000 Fearless Inner City CERT Team in Austin, Texas. They're doing a magnificent work. And at a certain point, we were networking with other subject matter experts across the country. And definitely, ham radio communication is something we need to train ourselves. We need to, we definitely need to train ourselves with that. And if the truth be told, you know, depending on where you are locally and your resources, one of the things that the emergency managers are now seeing as a asset to bringing control to whatever disaster nowadays with the technology are these drones. Drones can go above disaster areas that maybe humans can't get into without various equipment. And, you know, they have cameras on the drone. So whenever there's an emergency, response time is critically important. And so drones are something that, you know, again, it may not be your purview, but there may be a young person in your family who would love to have a drone. And we could teach them how to use that drone in emergencies for the benefit of the communities. But, yeah, that ham radio and those walkie-talkies, that's critically important because once a cell tower goes down, then how will we communicate? That's why it's important to develop that plan prior to a disaster hitting, because it's not a matter of if it's going to hit you. It's just a matter of when. You know, we say, like they say in the trailers in the movies, coming to a city near you soon. Well, You know, we better listen to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan when he tells us to watch the weather. America's
yes,
being
sir.
Humble
on that
right
note,
now.
Brother, I don't like to interrupt, but we're down to the last 30 seconds.
Wow.
So if you want to go ahead and, Brother Youssef, and let people know, if people know if they want more information, if they wanted to contact you, please let us know and tell us about your blog talk show and get that out real quick so people can follow up.
Okay, well, call me on my blog talk show. That way you'll be a part of it. You can get informed every Friday from 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock p.m. I host a whole program, Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness, on Blog Talk Radio. And you can log on to Blog Talk Radio / Black Hole Radio, hole spelled W-H-O-L-E, Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness. Or you can dial in at 563-999-3089. Again, 563-999-3089 every Friday from 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Thank you so much, Brother Youssef. This has been so wonderful, and I want to thank the sister who also gave the information too. Thank you.
All praise is due to Allah. I too want to thank Sister Karima, and thank your listening audience, and thank the both of you for the work that you do. May Allah continue to bless you both.
And may Allah
thank
continue
you very
to bless
much.
You all.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
Won't you help me? Won't you help me understand your
Tennessee. Lord, I've really been real stressed. Uh-huh. Down and out, losing ground. Yeah. Although I am black and brown, problems got me pessimistic. Mm. Brothers and sisters keep messing up. Why does it have to be so damn tough? I don't know where I can go. Uh-huh. To let these ghosts out of my skull. My grandma passed, my brother's gone.
Alone.
I never at once felt so alone.
Alone.
I know you're supposed to be my steering wheel.
Uh-huh.
Not just my spare tire.
A game of horseshoes.
Now I see the importance of history. While my people be in the mess that they be. Many journeys to freedom made in vain. By brothers on the corner playing ghetto games. I ask you, Lord, why you enlighten me without the enlightenment of all my folks. Instead, cause I set myself on a quest for truth. And he was there to quench my thirst. But I am still thirsty. Lord, allow me to drink some more. He said what I am searching for. The answers to all which are in front of me. The ultimate truth started to get blurry. Some strange reason.